National Days, brought to you by Iced Vovos. Nothing goes down better in the middle of the night than a beautiful iced Vovo and a nice cup of tea.
Oh, we love the Ice Vovo version of the National Days intro. Hello, Dale Sinden.
Oh, I love a good Ice Vovo, but they're very dangerous in my household, Clinton. If I ever, I only ever buy them if they're on special, and they don't last more than a couple of hours.
Problem with the Ice Vovo, they're covered in coconut, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right? The coconut can get stuck in your throat.
Yeah.
And if you are broadcasting a radio program,
oh, okay,
you just eat an Ice Vovo, the coconut, yes, you can choke on your Ice Vovo, which is not ideal.
Yeah. Also, biscuits that suck all the moisture out of your mouth as well. They're a bit dangerous.
Well, I just had an Anzac biscuit.
Yeah, well, that you've got to have a glass of milk after that or a cup of tea.
A cup of tea. I don't drink tea. Don't drink tea. Don't.
I have it as medicine, Clinton.
Well, I mean, it's interesting you say that. So Russell Setripe has been recommending the last few weeks on the program that I have a look at to improve sleep when you need to sleep in funny hours. Mm. He's been recommending passion flower. So I went on the hunt for passion flower last week, and most of the pharmacies actually don't sell a passion flower concoction. But you look online for passion flower, and it's in health food stores, but it's often in a tea form.
Ugh.
So you're actually drinking passion flower tea.
Yeah, chamomile's supposed to be good for that as well. I tried, because I had read that, and I bought a box of chamomile tea for home. I think I lasted 2 days, and I thought, ugh.
I didn't like it. I just can't drink. I can't drink hot drinks. Drinks to me need to be refreshing, and that means they need to be cold.
Oh, okay. No, I'll have a cup of tea if I need sparking up. That's about it.
It is Friday the 10th of May, National Days for the 10th of May.
Yeah, it's Happy National Shrimp Day, or we would more or say prawn, but throw another shrimp on the barbie. Now, probably one of the biggest forms of a shrimp in popular culture, if you've seen the movie Forrest Gump, if you remember Bubba?
Certainly have.
Oh, you can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it, shrimp kebab, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried, etc., etc., etc. But look, prawns and shrimp are a huge thing. I did have an all-you-can-eat shrimp at, I think it was Sizzler in Oregon once, and I felt embarrassed because I kept saying bring them out. That's about the only way I'll eat prawns, if they're like a prawn cutlet and they're, you know, sort of got a crumb or something on them. But I think barbecue prawns is certainly a big Christmas Day fare here, and prawns in general, but not for me. I actually, the last night in Japan, we had a big barbecue thing, and I cooked up a prawn and I ate half of it, and I was very proud of myself. But they've been around a long time, Clinton. It was in 600 AD that archaeological remains of the jaw of a shrimp are identified from that period. And shrimp farming in the 1980s particularly becomes incredibly popular in China. So are you a prawn eater? You much of a
seafood? I'm a little bit like you. I don't really eat seafood.
No.
The only time I'll have prawns or shrimp is, say, you go to a Chinese restaurant and fried rice.
Oh, it's in something, yeah.
And maybe in some Chinese meals. Main street of Kuta in Bali, one of the main streets there is a Bubba Gump restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And it's the theme is from those that the scenes in Forrest Gump.
Oh, there you go. I bet they don't have copyright from Paramount on that.
They might not. they do things on the sly in Bali.
I would say so. Well, anyway, if it is, prawns are your thing. It was a bit of a running joke in our family that the only seafood I'd eat were chips.
You have the same sort of palate as me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, pretty much. Clinton, here's one. Well, maybe you could get your kids in on this one. It's Clean Your Room Day.
Oh.
Now, I think like most people, well, maybe not. I'm pretty tidy, but sometimes my wardrobe becomes a walk-on wardrobe instead of a walk-in wardrobe. I don't have too much of a tendency of chucking things down when I lie, but the lounge room becomes a little bit of a clothes horse someday. But I had a huge clean-out last week weekend. I went through the cupboards and I thought, I'm never going to wear these pair of shoes again. And these shoes, yeah, I'd really like to get the soles re-glued on these, but let's admit it, I'm never going to do it. So I had a huge clean out last week, and while I was at it, I think I did a great job. I think I did a really good job of cleaning up different parts of the house. My back office is usually pretty tidy, as I said, the lounge room comes a little bit of a, I wouldn't say quite pigsty, but it comes a little bit of a clothes horse.
It is with three kids, it is a constant frustration for me.
Yeah.
As it was for my father and my mother with me when I was a teenager. It's my eldest daughter is allergic to cleaning her room. She's so strong academically. She's such a good girl.
Yeah.
But when it comes to cleaning the bedroom, it's just a debacle.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter is actually pretty good. But this year, this week it's a write-off in our place because, as I mentioned last night, it's school musical week. And the girls are both starring in the school musical. And they're actually doing five plays this week. And that was on top of all the rehearsals. So there's not much happening in our house other than school musical. And it means that, oh, no, that's just an excuse to keep the bedroom as a bomb site.
Yeah, I suppose another excuse to throw into that is has been rather rainy, so that usually gets thrown as an excuse.
You're inside more, you can clean up.
Yeah, I seem to recall as a kid my clothes would be thrown under the bed instead of, you know, I have got a hamper thing in my wardrobe, so anytime something, I've got to give that a bit of a wash, I throw it out of the way. But I do recall as a kid, it used to be the old bombshell thing of, you know, come and clean all that stuff out from under your bed. Because if you clean your room, it invariably meant kicking it all under the bed so you couldn't see it.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, but today is the day to get into that. It's also National Public Gardens Day. That's pretty obvious. Just go out and spend time with nature. My backyard is looking like a jungle at the moment. Not with the grass, but the plants have just been growing so well because of all the rain we've had. But one of the most beautiful things you can do if you're wandering around any city, particularly our city, is the Botanical Gardens. If you want to take a walk down there, it's got beautifully manicured lawns and gardens and plants. And you can go down and they've actually got little explanations of what all the plants are.
And the location is unbeatable for the Botanic Gardens in Sydney. It's free. You can just walk down there. You know, if you walk in the city, so many people actually go for a walk in the Botanic Gardens at lunchtime if they work in the city. But it's a lovely spot to go on the weekend as well.
Oh, it is indeed. I do like going for walks. I do like a bit of bushwalk too, but it's not quite the same. This is an interesting one. How are you with your intuition? Because it's Trust Your Intuition Day. And I got to say, a lot of the times if you're talking to someone, you think, oh, you know, they're talking a bit of gobbledygook. Most of the time, yeah, it actually was. They were talking a bit of gobbledygook. But the main objective this day is to encourage people to take control of their lives by making a decision and follow through with it. It's celebrated by being courageous and taking risks, but of course, entrusting your intuition. How are you with your intuition?
I'm a bit untrustworthy. A bit too cautious.
What, you don't trust it? Well, you are.
Don't trust myself.
Oh, okay. Well, intuition, yes, ability to gain knowledge without using conscious reasoning. Now, that's referred to as intuition. The term intuition is used in a variety of contexts, including full access to unconscious understanding, unconscious cognitive, internal detection, inner understanding of unconscious pattern recognition, as well as the ability to understand something instinctively. I think you'd have to you've been so successful in the news industry, you'd have to have a certain amount of intuition, particularly when speaking to certain politicians.
Oh, sort of, yep.
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, it was back in 350 BC that wisdom is defined by Aristotle as the intuitive purpose associated with scientific understanding. There you go. And finally, this is interesting. It's National Golf Day. Have you ever been much of a golfer? I know Stanley, Mr. Hadley. There's quite a few golfers in this organization.
I've certainly played over the years, but I haven't played now for a long time because I lost my cool at the Boomerang Golf Club,
uh-oh,
which is just south of Sydney. And I was on the hole where you tee off and you've got to go straight over a lake.
Yeah.
The problem is my 7-iron ended up in the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Along with many balls. And after that, I can't cop it anymore. So I haven't played for a long time.
And some of the expletives are still orbiting the planet.
Yes, I'm not very good.
No, I'm not a good golf player. I've played a couple of times. I'm better at putt-putt, but I've only had a couple of full games, and I've got to say I'm pretty dreadful, so that's probably why I've never gravitated towards it. But the earliest game of golf dates back to the 15th century Scotland. Golf looked very different back in those days. People using clubs or bent sticks to hit a pebble around tracks or dunes. That's probably how I play golf. It was wildly popular across Scotland, but eventually became a problem. The passionate pursuit of golf led many people to neglect military training, when the English invasion loomed. Due to this, King James II and the Scottish Parliament banned the game entirely. However, most golf enthusiasts responded by ignoring the order, as they probably would with any government directive. Maybe this is the day. Have you actually got a set of clubs, Clint?
Yeah, I've got a set of clubs.
When was the last time they used, or they just gathered dust?
It's probably 15 years ago. Probably 15 years since I played golf.
And you haven't thought of tossing them out?
No. Look, I'll get back to it one day. When I've got some time on my hands, I'll get back to it. It takes a lot of time to play golf.
Oh, it does indeed. But I was going to say you get a lot of good exercise unless you've got a mobility scooter like John Stanley.
Oh, even you're having a go at John now.
Oh, you know, I love John the bits, but he even jokes about it, so I feel as if I'm entitled because he actually jokes about it as well.
Yeah, look, John is like one of the many around our station who is completely obsessed with the game, and well, that's a good thing because it's a great game.
Indeed. Well, this is the day, and if it's got a little bit of sunshine today, maybe you should go out and have a whack.
Maybe, in between all the rain showers. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Clint.
That is National Days for the 10th of May.